Okay. Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. 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 Do I need to
it's
plug it in? Okay. Function F8. Sorry about this, guys. Pass it on. Right. Slideshow. Okay. I'll take this time just to apologize. I only receive my emails later on because I was too busy carried away doing my own thing, which is not obviously not a very good part of a team working thing, but there we go. So I was looking at how we're going to go about the working design and what we actually need to do and what the remote control needs to do, and it needs to allow a person to have a portable device so they can control the television from wherever they are. They don't need to actually manually touch the television set. So it gives them much more flexibility and allows them to be where they want to be. On a functional side of things, we found out that, well, from a previous meeting, we decided that there are certain points that will make our product unique. One is the visibility in the dark, which was Genevieve's idea. So we need to think about how we could bring this in technically, and we could use illuminated buttons, which we're all familiar with when we're using a mobile phone or something familiar, automatically lights up at first touch. Or we could use fluorescent materials, which would just take in the light during the day, and then as soon as they go off, they would glow in the dark. Also, we could use an alarm. So, if we lost the remote control, perhaps there could be a button on the television set itself which you could press, and then an alarm from the handset would sound where it was, hopefully in the room, maybe behind a cushion or somewhere. So that would work. Oh, go back there. Another thing I think we missed out on the last meeting was the fact that we should consider the environmental impact of our design. From previous research, as I've carried out on other projects, we've learned about smart materials where specific alloys of metals have a shape memory. So they can be heated and cooled, and they change the shape of the metal. So, for example, a screw that's holding something together could expand and it would force all the components apart. So, the benefits of this for our product would be that when it came to the end of its product life, if it was heated, everything would spring apart. So, all the individual components could be easily separated, and then some could be reused, some could be recycled. And I think that would be very important for products now, especially because there's so much responsibility for all the companies who are coming up with like new designs, because we all know that our resources are being limited and we have to be very environmentally conscious. Yeah. And then yeah, they would You would make the product as you normally would, apart from the bits that hold it all together would be made out of the shape memory alloy, and that's the part that would allow all the other parts to be separated at the end. I mean, the user would return the product to the company because it's the product's responsibility to get rid of what they've made. And then the company could then just make use of the shape memory alloys to split up the components and then either reuse some bits and other bits which are obviously going to wear out with time or not usable. They might be like be able to put into scrap metal or something like the case. If it's scratched or something, you wouldn't want to reuse it, but you might be able to melt it down and reuse it again somewhere else. We could probably employ a side company or something to do that for us, but it would be our responsibility to get that done and to dispose of the products that we made for a certain percentage at least. Not 100% of everything we produce. Yeah. Well, the fact of the shape memory alloys is that they don't need to be manually deconstructed. Like, you don't have to individually unscrew all the screws. Because of this, their properties are smart material. All you need is just the heat, so they self-destruct themselves. So I suppose it does need like high contact, high quality machinery and very specific machinery, but yeah. Okay. Also, there are some components. This will be how it will actually work, but I haven't put this plan together yet. There we go. Sorry, should I go back? This would actually show the circuit diagram, although I haven't come up with the final circuit yet. So I just would put all those components in. Yeah, it just shows what sort of energy source. It could be a battery, like rechargeable probably. And yeah, well, how the infrared will actually be sent through the chip to be received by the chip on the television set itself. Okay. So now is it F8 again to escape or escape? There we go. Okay. There you go, Tara. Function F8, the one at the top.
User interface designer. Technical function design.
I was just wondering about the what Genevieve said before about having like some hidden controls, like having the outer casing. And that would probably what you said before about it being a more profitable, simplistic design, I suppose having that would complicate it a lot more and limit the design in your view. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Also be looking for trends in clothing and interior design, not just in electronic fashion, so that it's something that fits in the household.
I'm sorry, what was that last thing that you just said?
We should be looking towards trends in both clothing and interior design. Any trends that are going on in the public, even media, you know, who's famous, what TV shows are being
Yeah.
watched. The other 25% didn't specify if they love them or found them, you know, neutral. 80% of users would spend more money when a remote control would look fancy. Current remote controls do not match well the operating behavior of the user.
I'm sorry, the 80% of users would spend more money when a remote control would look fancy, meaning that they would spend more money on a fancy looking
Yeah,
remote control?
they're willing to spend money on a remote control with personality as opposed to your basic, you know,
Mm.
all black.
Yeah.
So it is something that people care about. It's not ignored in the household. 75% of remote control users said that they zap a lot. Zapping meaning they go through channels a lot. You know, thumb masters. And 50% of users say they only use 10% of the buttons. That a very small amount. That's interesting.
Right, so it might be very appealing if
So
they're
the single
very
function.
precise buttons. And
Yeah.
another thing with lots of surfing, you probably have to work on something that could be a lot more durable, because I find with channel changers that a lot of the numbers get rubbed down if they're printed off.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And actually, to go with that, I'm going to give you some statistics on the relevancy of each of the buttons, how much they're used, and how important the users find them. So the power button, obviously, in an hour is only used once. Hopefully, the person's not turning on and off the TV. But the relevance of that button is 9 out of 10. So people want to be able to turn on the TV with a remote control, as opposed to standing up and turning on the television set. Channel selection is used 168 times on average per hour. That's a huge amount. So
Wow.
the most
like the news, like
it has
information.
TV has like information, has information on holidays, news,
The
entertainment.
What's on.
No, it's a button that you
yeah.
press and the new the menu pops up.
Yeah.
I haven't used it before.
And you have page numbers like for the menu, and you press the page numbers with your remote generation.
It's like very basic internet
yeah.
sort of yeah, it's just information there on like television timetables, what's on now, what's on next on every channel. And
right. Well, I guess I'm not with that because I wasn't, but it's being used 14 times an hour, and has about high relevance of 6.5. So it looks like something that we're going to want to do some research on.
Yeah. To get the right reception
yeah,
and
yeah.
picture,
okay.
I suppose.
So it's not used very often, but people still find it relevant. Okay. Biggest frustrations of the people that we interviewed. Remote controls are often lost somewhere, so that was already discussed by Poppy, how we can have an alarm system so that people can find it. It takes too much time to learn how to use a new remote control.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be very user-friendly, you
yeah.
know, people know what to do very quickly. Remote controls are bad for RSF.
Repetitive strain injury.
Ah.
I think.
Maybe
oh, I'm guessing that's what it is.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Designers can look into that. Buttons that don't require, you know, very firm.
Yeah.
But we'll have to also avoid, you know, buttons responding to the slightest touch as well. That's a problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's some ideas for you. A large percentage of the public would pay for voice recognition on their remote controls. So I'll show you some numbers here. So the youngest age group, 15 to 25, 91.2% said that they would pay extra money to have voice recognition included on their remote control. You can see that number decreases a bit. With interestingly enough, 25 to 35 is the lowest amount that are willing to pay extra. So I guess we're going to have to figure out what age group we're targeting and if voice recognition is something we want to look into and if we have the budget for it. If we are targeting young adults, it looks like something that would pay off, seeing as 90%, over 90% would pay for it.
Well, I agree with if we're targeting young adults, then it would be something we should look into financially and functionally. And especially if we are trying to be trendy, go with fashion, things like that. Ages like from 35 to 65, which show lower numbers, probably won't be as concerned.
So that's a whole other field of research. I don't know if it'd be, if you'd still have a remote or if you're talking to your television and saying change channel, and depending on how many members
yeah.
of the household. So it may be too complicated for us. That's something
yeah.
to keep in mind.
There's something that like really complicated is that the TV makes noise itself.
Right.
Yeah. And if there was conversation in the room at the same time,
yeah.
although in theory it doesn't tend to be when you're watching television, but it could be very difficult to get the specific
design.
Yeah.
Voice recognition might be a little too extreme for us, not practical. An LCD screen though might be something that you know you can shift through pages, kind of like the way this PowerPoint is working.
Yeah.
So that you don't have so many buttons to deal with.
I don't know what an LCD screen is.
Oh, sorry, just the screen, like a computer screen. So, or like
a mobile phone.
Yeah, like an alarm clock. You have an LCD versus just a. What
would appear on the screen?
Top of the cell phone, the
yeah.
screen. I don't know what exactly we put on
like linked in with the teletext, or sort of like an teletext at your fingers without having to access that through the television. Yeah. Could be.
I guess that's something we can all take back to our respective research. And finally, my personal preferences and thoughts. I think our priority really should be unique design. We want something that people want in their home. Every remote control looks the same, so in my opinion, it should be user-friendly and unique. So the other stuff might be a little too gadgety for some people.
Yeah.
Myself, voice recognition kind of scares me off. So if we're aiming to make this an international universally accepted product, and for all, the other thing is age market. I mean, if we wanted to concentrate on 15 to 25 girls, we could go with the fancy stuff. But if we want to make 50 million and have everyone want this remote control, we should maybe stick to the basics.
Mm-hmm. And we should keep in mind that 15 to 25 year olds might not have 25 year olds to spend on remote control.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their priority.
Keep in mind the reliability of our research. I mean, you know, a 16-year-old boy would say, yeah, I'd pay up for voice recognition until they realize that's 3 months allowance.
Yeah.
So I think the older generations we should be catering to a bit more.
Are you 20?
Yeah. And one of the largest or most complaint about things is that it takes so long to get to know how to use it.
Yeah. Yeah, complicated. Just complicating things even further.
Okay.
Before we go into more discussion on what we want this design to look like, I have received some information from the management that will affect some of our decisions. For one thing, because having controls with the VCR, that sort of thing, would really complicate the design of the remote control. We've decided not to include them and make it a specific television function, which is good as we've sort of decided that we would like to go with that anyway, for many reasons. So we have that decision sort of made for us. Another thing that might affect other decisions is that the management feels that teletext is outdated because more people are using the internet now. And so we won't concern ourselves with navigating the teletext option.
Can I just interrupt?
Yeah.
Would you like to plug in your... Have you got a PowerPoint on?
Yeah,
no. Okay, thanks. Was the management suggesting use of the internet rather than teletext, or just avoiding both altogether?
Well, I mean, we don't have
the funds. Yeah.
Using the internet with remote control, but they were just pretty much saying.
Okay.
The teletext.
Yeah. Okay.
And another thing is for the design of the product is that we want to create more of a sense that people know that this is from our company. So
right.
All the remote controls must have our, we'll incorporate our logo and coloring into the
way. Yeah.
So perhaps our logo on the bottom or wherever you feel like it.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be the color of our,
just
our company, but another thing is that we probably would have to have that color and logo decided upon. I'm assuming that we already have one, but for the purposes of this meeting, I wasn't offered a type of logo or color, so.
Okay, we're gonna.
Somewhere on the design so it can be recognizable.
It's probably our RR logo.
Yeah.
The little RR yellow thing?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the changes.
Okay.
We already know that it'll just be for the television, it won't have teletext, but you know, we could discuss those other options that you brought up, Genevieve.
So specifications, sing. Yeah. I don't know. More research required, I think. But if was it a management decision that we haven't? Okay, so.
It's pretty much out of our hands at this point.
Okay.
So I guess we're looking at something rather simple.
I guess just from my findings, it looks like one minimized buttons.
Okay. Minimal.
I think we should definitely go ahead with the alarm system.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sure that could be inexpensive because we could use the same kind of infrared.
Yeah, the same signaling.
The same
I mean,
signal, that make it just like
or vibrate just the same as a mobile phone, like you just a buzz or something. Yeah. If do you mean the link between the well, if the button was actually on, oh yeah, maybe yeah maybe something adhesive that you could like stick onto the back of any set that would be, yeah, not very obtrusive. Obviously, something small that's yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe
probably. Unless it could be okay. Unless some way it could have some universal connection to like the socket, the same socket that the TV's supplied from. I mean the power for the TV, so more research into that one. Yeah. Yeah. Like a raised. That's true. And also, Heather, you mentioned before, like how it should be accessible to everybody. So like big buttons maybe for people who are visually impaired, the glow in the dark or light up won't make any difference anyway. So like you said, tactile might be better because it'll be more available to everybody. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's not these days. I mean, it's quite easily accessible. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You don't turn on the lights to turn it down because of some explosion. It's gonna wake up the baby. So if you touch the button, it kind of reactivates it. Lights
yeah,
up.
Yeah. It's a self-timed lighting.
We have 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a self-timed. Yeah. Yeah. I think the shape of the numbers is a really good idea. And I think that's unique as well. I mean, I haven't seen that. And as you're saying, like, numbers can wear off if they just sort of painted on, you know, printed. Durable. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Repetitive strain injury. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and we could, yeah, there are now like loads of a huge range of different colours that it could light up in as well, which could like link in with the company colours, like it could be blue or green or yellow, or and like we've just limited with the just ordinary phosphorescent. So. Yeah, every time that it lit up, that could light up as well, or what it. Yeah. Okay, like you can have changeable mobile covers or something. Yeah, oh. Okay. Person. Yeah. Person. Yeah, that's great. Interchangeable. And also. Yeah, and also possible, I mean, we could gain out of that by advertising certain TV shows. Yeah, but if we, we could. The environmental factor, we didn't bring that up again. Yeah. Okay. I think we could probably leave that till later on then. No? Okay, thank you.